Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 12 to 13. Study of the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator is this series of messages from this book of the preacher. God's gift to the redeemed men. God's gift to the redeemed men. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 to 13. We have three thoughts that we want us to see tonight. Joy, goodness, the ability to do good, and to enjoy the fruit of our labor. These are God's gifts to the redeemed men. If you are a child of God, then you'll find that God would bless you with His goodness. The existence of man on earth can be most profitable when he remembers his Creator, the source of blessing and life, the giver of all good gifts. And the Lord wants us to know and see and understand that man's life finds its fullness when we have God with us. Not any other God, but the living and true God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the perspective that Solomon is leading his readers to see as he testifies of life in its final analysis. He tells us that when we have God, we have everything. Without Him, nothing. It's what we say in electronics, a binary code, 0 or 1. There's no in-between state. Jesus gives the formula for spiritual progress and prosperity in life when he told his disciples in John 15, 4 to 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. He has said that he is the vine, and we are the branches. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Good reminder. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. This truth a man finds when he understood the truth by faith that Jesus Christ is the living and true God. That understanding only God can give to us. And when God gives us and our hearts are illumined through His Spirit to receive Jesus Christ into our lives, we have everything. And how God had to reveal His Son to us through His Word. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. So this Creator is also the giver of life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Very sad, isn't it? But as many as received Him, that's the good news, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so the best thing that has happened to the life of any man upon earth is to know his Creator in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh, John 1:14 says, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When we have Jesus Christ in our lives is blessed of God. And that's something that we want us to meditate and think about. John also says in John 15:7-11, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Behold the greatness of that promise and blessing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy might be full. Such incomprehensible blessing that God gives to his people in Christ. What privilege we have in Christ. Our prayers answered, our ability to love others, our ability to have fullness of joy. If we do not truly have Christ with us, then you find that you have difficulty loving others. You have difficulty experiencing that joy. And prayers are not answered. For you may say, is there no pain and suffering and tears in life for any man on earth? So what if you have Jesus Christ in your life? Isn't the lot of men still filled with sorrow and grief and pain and suffering? Well, the good news is this, that Jesus Christ has overcome all these things. And he gave these words of encouragement to his disciples before he went to the cross, that he shall sustain them through the future days, even whilst he is not with them physically. He is with them by his almighty overcoming power. And this is the last verse of the last message or last sermon that he gave to his disciples, John 16:33. He tells them of the trouble to come, and he tells them of the peace that he will give to them during those troublous times. And he tells them to be of good cheer. Be courageous. He has won victory for us. He has overcome all things on our behalf. So John 16:33 is a precious verse that God's people ought to be resting upon. Right? You have Jesus Christ and you are resting and abiding in him. He gives to you an enduring courage to live. And it gives you the strength through the hard days of life. When we have the Lord with us, when we are remembering our Creator in the days of our strength, three things he gives us: joy, goodness, and the ability to enjoy the fruit of our labor. The first thought, joy. For I know, verse 12a, for I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice. Now, last week we said in verse 11 that God is in sovereign control over our lives. He makes all things beautiful in His time. We can trust His good hand leading us through life. And so if you have God with you, you cannot say that there is no good in the things that happen to you in your life. Because God is working out something good and beautiful for you in your life. And He wants you to trust Him. The hymn that we sung, very meaningful, very appropriate. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er before me, not, you know, there would be no good in this life. For I know whatever before me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever before me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. Give me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. A man cannot see any good under the sun when God is not in the perspective of life. But when God is, you'll find that there is joy. This morning we were continuing our study of Joseph's life. Right? We were at Genesis 41. And 41 starts with Joseph staying 2 more years in prison. 2 more years when you are in your 20s. 2 years is a long time. Well, is prison a good place to stay? Not a good place. Right? We said that prison food, prison company, prison smell, not so friendly, not so tasty, or not so welcome. But it was God's timing for him. And you see how he tarried and waited upon God until the time when God would swing open the prison door and he was asked to rush out of prison. Right? The time has come. The time has come. Pharaoh had a dream and there was no one to interpret the dream. And they were all desperate. All the magicians were desperate in the kingdom of Egypt. And the chief butler, the man who is closest to the Pharaoh, was under pressure because no one could solve the troubling heart of Pharaoh. And he gets agitated and, you know, he doesn't want to spend the rest of his life in prison again as he did the last time. He might be like the chief cook, right, who was hanged. And so he remembered Joseph, that Joseph interpreted the dream for him 2 years ago. And so he said to Pharaoh, come. So imagine, you know, the fullness of timing in God's purpose. Right? What was God doing? Well, God was making a famine so that the family of Jacob would have to travel all the way to Egypt. And when they are in Egypt, what happens? Well, God would give to them a place of incubation for 400 years, where Israel will become a great multitude. And God will lead them out of Egypt into the wilderness. God would give to them the law. And then God would send them into the promised land. They would become a full-fledged nation, a nation to be a witness for God, a theocracy among all the nations of the world, and out of which will come the Messiah. And so, in the fullness of God's timing, he was working out his redemption plan. And you know, we are in that jigsaw puzzle, right? A part of that plan of God as his children. And if you know it, you would be so happy, right? So happy. Even the Lord tells us that we have to wait, right? We know that this is a time whereby we rest upon him, rest upon his sovereign hand leading and guiding us. And so we want us to see, right, that in the life of the people of God, when you have God with you, there is a joy that flows in your heart. And what is this joy? Right. Paul puts it this way. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." What does it mean? Well, when we become a child of God, when we receive Jesus Christ into our life through repentance and through faith, the Spirit of God comes and dwells in us. Our spiritual eyes are open. And God teaches us, right, the things that make good in life. Right? For Joseph's life, what was it? Well, he learned how to live a life of obedience in the sight of God. And so when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, what did he do? Well, he first told Potiphar's wife, "No, right, I cannot sin against God." And then what happens? When she started to make her advances, well, he had to flee. And, you know, he was innocent, but he suffered such injustice to be thrown into prison. And you know that someone, a child of God who walks with God, although he suffers injustice, right, there is a sublime joy that is in your heart to know that you have done right. There's no rebuke, no sin to trouble your heart. Even if your lot is to be in prison, you are able, you know, to make good of that time in prison. And the Lord wants us to see that there are things that make for joy in a Christian's life. What is it? When we walk with God, when we put away sin in our lives, when we receive forgiveness for sins, these are the things that make for joy. The grace of God, the hope in God, the life beyond the grave, and the strength to go on in life. Well, these are the things that make for joy. Right? Whereas you see the people of the world will fall into depression. They would have to take drugs, right, in order to sustain themselves. but for the child of God, with the Spirit of God with him, right? He has that strength within him to go through. So we said, the gift of God is joy, right? That we may be able to rejoice in the seasons of life. And then the next thing that God gives to us, I would put it as goodness, the ability to do good, whatever the seasons of life. The child of God who trusts in God will have joy in his life. And God would also enable him, all right, to manifest the goodness of God in his life. And what is that? Well, he gives to us the ability to do good to others, even though they may be ungrateful, knowing that God is our ultimate rewarder or reward. So for the Christian, how can we serve joyfully and continue to serve? Well, it's because God gives us the ability, the goodness, to do good in this life. And where does that come from? Well, you remember the words of Jesus in John 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Right? The child of God who has experienced the love of God, the goodness of God, the blessing of God, you know, your cup overflow. And you just cannot help it but share that goodness with others. Right? He gives to us to do good to others, even though they may be ungrateful. If ye keep my commandments, Jesus says, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So if we have experienced truly God's love in our lives, we are willing to impart that love to others. Right? If you haven't received that love, you don't know how to impart it to others. You don't know how to share it with others. Right? If you haven't experienced that good, how would you know how to return the good? But if you have life with God, then the goodness of God, the love of God comes to you. Right? That love that Christ imparts to us is an unconditional and sacrificial love. Right? The word is agape. Right? It is God's gift to his children. Goodness. Right? And we know that this will, that there will come a time, right, when we can no longer do good, when God brings us to our eternal home. And that's the time when we rest from our labors and enjoy the reward of his goodness to us through eternity in our heavenly mansion. But now is the time to do good. And you know, doing good cannot be forced. It is something that comes to you as a, as the Spirit of God gives to you that love in your heart. Right? Cannot be humanly concocted. Right? Cannot be made. And so Jesus says that if we were to do good, right, you see somebody hungry, give him meat. You see somebody thirsty, give him drink. You see a stranger, take him in. Naked, clothe him. He's sick, visit him. In prison, come to him. And Jesus says, if you have done it to one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So here Solomon is telling us, God's gift to his people is the ability to bless others. Now, when we talk about imparting goodness to people, you realize that we are able to impart that because we have received an abundant portion from God. That's how we are able to impart it. And so the Lord wants us to rest and, you know, abide in his love. How do we do so? He tells us when we obey his commandments, when we love his laws. The poem, Good Deeds Done in Secret. I did a favor yesterday, a kindly little deed, and then I called to all the world to stop and look and heed. They stopped and looked and flattered me in words I could not trust. And when the world had gone away, my good deed turned to dust. A very tiny courtesy I found to do today. 'Twas quickly done with none to see. And then I ran away. But someone must have witnessed it. For truly I declare, as I sped back the stony path, roses were blooming there. The man, Charles Bridges, he wrote a very good commentary on the book of Ecclesiastes and also the book of Proverbs. He says, the man not only rejoices, but he does good all his days. And what an increase of happiness that our God and Savior should have indulged us with the privilege of this promoting his glory. We might have been seduced and occupied with selfish contemplation of our own happiness and never had our hearts enlarged with the joyous privilege of doing good. Whereas now he has made us not only the recipients but the almoners of grace, not only enriched with blessings in our own soul but unto all bountifulness to supply the wants of others. Thus, the happiness of every member of the body is increased by contributing to the welfare of the body. We are chosen of God, that by doing his work, we may be a blessing to men. To enjoy our blessings is the stimulus to communicate them. Right? The Lord wants us to put that love into action. Right? So he tells us that not that joy abides with his people, goodness abides with his people, and then he tells us also that there is a fruitfulness, verse 13, that comes to the people of God. And this verse is very interesting. It says here, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. The ability to enjoy food, the gift of appetite, is from God. Just as the gift of a restful sleep in the night is God's good hand. There are those with riches untold of this world, of this world's goods, and yet unhappy and unable to enjoy a simple meal of food and drink. Now I want us to see the word enjoy there, right? In the original is the word to see. Okay, to see with the eye. Alright? And also that every man should eat and drink and see the good of his labor. Now the word see is very interesting in the Bible, you know. When Abraham was bringing his son Isaac to the altar, Isaac was asking him, where is the sacrifice? He says, God will see to it. That means God will take care of it. God knows. He didn't say, hey, you are the sacrifice. No. But he says he trusted God. Right? He says that. And what happens at the end of it? He says, the Lord has seen, or the Lord has provided. All right. So here the King James translator has rightly translated the word enjoy, right? To enjoy the good, right? Because God sees and he will help you to see. How does he help you to see? Well, he helps you to see by abiding in his laws, right? To understand that honest, simple labor that you do, right? God will honor and God will bless. Right? God will see to it. And you would enjoy that fruit of your labor. And so the Bible's teaching is that man can enjoy the fruit of his labor. Now, God will see to it that you are provided for. In other words, God will see to it that you will be taken care of. All he asks you to do is to do the work that he has given to you. Right? And, you know, each one of us, when we seek the Lord, God will lead us to a work to do. Right? And we are to do it with all our strength, to his honor and glory. And then he will see to it that you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Right? He will see to it that he would take care of you. You see? So the biblical teaching is that man can enjoy the fruit of his labor. So isn't it a wonderful thing? You see, we have to work. Right? Work seems so such a terrible thing, right? A sweaty scenario. But if you you look at the picture here, we shared with you before, you know, our brother recommended us this picture, right? The Potato Eaters by Vincent van Gogh. Right? Van Gogh said he wanted to depict peasants as they really were. He deliberately chose coarse and ugly models, thinking that they would be natural and unspoiled in his finished work. He says, you see, I really have wanted to make it so that people get the idea that these folk who are eating their potatoes by the light of their little lamp have tilled the earth themselves with these hands they are putting in the dish. And so it speaks of manual labor and that they have thus honestly earned their food. He wanted it to give the idea of a wholly different way of life from our civilized people. So I certainly cannot want everyone just to admire it or approve of it without knowing why. So when we say that we would enjoy the fruit of our labor, right? Today you find that, you know, the nations of the world are fast departing from this simple work ethic. Right? There's this thing going on today called helicopter money. Helicopter money is money that governments would give, right? So that, you know, you don't need to work. They will give to you. So in Switzerland, they had this referendum. 2,500 Swiss francs. Right? The people voted, I don't want it. But in New Zealand, I was told that, you know, it's implemented. Imagine, don't need to work. You can just print money. Is it sustainable? Not sustainable. Right? You cannot generate demand, right, by without labor. Right? It goes against the natural law of God. You don't sow, you don't reap. And so the Lord wants us to see the blessing of labor. And is there anything bad about working hard, laboring? Well, God gives us, you know, the strength, the grace to do so. And when you do so, well, God will see to it, right, that you would enjoy the good of, he will enjoy the good of his labor. And so we want us to see that there is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This is from the hand of God. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. So you see, life with God is good. Right? The redeemed man is blessed of God. God's gift to the redeemed man. You are connected to your Creator, and he gives to you his joy, he gives to you his goodness, and he gives to you fruitfulness and to the ability to enjoy that fruitfulness. What a privilege to enjoy the untold, unnumbered, unfathomable blessings of God as his children. May we live life to the fullest for his glory. He has given to us the blueprint for a fulfilled life. And all of us have that ability to do it because the Spirit of Christ resteth in us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for giving to us thy gift, the greatest gift, thy only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ is fullness of joy. In him is fullness of goodness, and in him is fullness of fruitfulness. O God, we want to thank thee for all that we have in Christ. O Lord, may thou help us to cherish all the good that we have received, and help us to remember now our Creator in the days of our strength. O God, bless thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.